Now for our scripture reading, we continue in the book of Matthew. We are now in chapter 21, verses 33 through 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect the produce. But the tenants seized his slave and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This is a fascinating parable, because usually a parable is something that illustrates something that may be, and this is something that prophesies something that will be. It is very clear to anybody who knows the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, that when he says, "Surely, if I send my son, they will respect him," and they said, "This is the heir, come, let us kill him and get his inheritance," even the chief priests and Pharisees understand that that's exactly who they're talking about. They're being condemned, and what I find the saddest part of this whole thing for me, they realized they were speaking about them, and they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because the crowds regarded him as a prophet. So even as he prophesies that those who fall on the cornerstone will be shattered, they want to take the son and kill him, just like the parable teaches. And what are they going to do? They're going to take the son and kill him. Right in the middle of the parable, where they know exactly where they stand and who they are and who he is, they still seek to kill the son and take the inheritance. They think if the son is gone, they'll be back in charge again. Sadly, they don't understand what it is that they have the detail that I find interesting in this, on the second glance was there was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press, built a watchtower, and then leased it to his tenants and went to another country. They make it very clear that the landowner didn't just seize the vineyard, he created it. He didn't just plant a few plants, he put the fence around it, dug the wine press, built the watchtower, and made it the kind of place that you would want to have for your own. Then he leased it to his tenants and went to another country. This was a rich and powerful man. In our world, we would like to make friends with people like that. We would like to have somebody like that in our lives, and yet all they can see is the vineyard and not the one who planted it. They see the vineyard and not the one who had the foresight to plant it and to do everything that they did. Quite often I speak to people who see the vineyard but not the one who planted it. This is a glorious time of year. This is my favorite time of year. Not only is it cross-country season, but it's football season. It's hunting season. The colors are turning, and the temperatures are finally where I want them. They're in the 60s and 50s, and I can work outside and not sweat and not freeze. And I love everything about it, and I hear people oohing and eyeing about how beautiful the apple orchard was where we were. And how beautiful the leaves are. And yet they don't see or believe in the God that made them. And it breaks my heart. Can you imagine how you would feel if you painted a beautiful picture for someone? And gave it to them. And they said, oh, this is beautiful. Where did you buy it? Well, I made it just for you. Really, where did you buy the paint? You see what I'm getting at? Is they don't get to the person, the creator that created it, out of love for you. See, the reason that I love the fall so much is everything around me just inspires me. God really loves me that much. God really loves me that much. God really loves me that much. And the blessings just keep flowing, and I just can't quite drink in how much it is that He really loves me. There's an illustration I posted on my Facebook page a few days ago. But I think it bears repeating. There was a man who had a daughter who graduated from college with honors. And he said, when you were little, I bought you a car. And I'm going to give you the car now, but I'd like you to do a couple things for me first. And he took the keys and he gave them to her, and she found this dusty old car in the garage. He says, take it down to the used car lot and see how much they'll give you for it. And he took it down to the used car lot and they said they'd give her about $1,000. He says, so, you know, go to the pawn shop and see how much they'll loan you on it. And she went to the pawn shop and the pawn shop said they'd give you a few hundred. It was an old and dusty car and it really wasn't worth much. And he says, now, he gave her a card. He says, take it to this car show and see what they say about your car. And she took it to the car show, and she came back, and she said, they wanted to give me $100,000 for the car. They said it was a Nissan Skylight 34, collector's item that everybody around the world is desperately looking for and wanting to own. And he said to her, he says, what I want you to understand is knowing what you have depends on knowing the value Don't ever go somewhere where people don't value you and know what it is that they have. Folks, you are made in the image of God. Your inheritance is you are made in the image of God. You are a son and daughter of God. Your inheritance is not what God has given you, but who God has created you to be. It makes you something very, very special. When Paul is writing, he says to the Corinthians, he says, we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. See, the image of God is distorted by all sorts of stuff from this life. As C.S. Lewis wrote, he says, if we could see the image of God that is in us shining through, and we could look at one another and see that, we'd be tempted to fall down and worship one another, because that image of God would shine so brightly. Don't sell yourself short. Don't look at the life that He has given you in terms of what kind of car you drive, or house you live in, or the job that you have, or the list goes on and on. But know that the inheritance that you've received is that image of God shining down deep inside you. It gives you a value that is priceless. It gives you an inheritance that's eternal. It gives you an opportunity for a relationship with Christ that transforms. This is World Communion Sunday, and that is a very special thing. Christians seem to specialize in pointing out where we're different, where we think we have it right and the rest of the world has it wrong. And there's a series of jokes I can tell you about that, but I'll spare it for you, that because the thing that makes us special today is when we come together today, almost every Christian denomination in the world, on this Sunday, sets all that aside and says, you know what makes us Christians? The image of God that is inside us, the Spirit of God that we receive at the Lord's table. So we're going to set aside all those things that separate us and celebrate this inheritance that allows us to be one in Christ and invite Christ to come and live in us. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to end here. And I'm going to open to a time of offering. I'm going to invite the praise band to come and sing Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. And then I'm going to invite us to come back to this table. But during this time, I want you to reflect on the inheritance that you've received and what it is that you're coming to share it when you come to the table. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come before you today, we admit we often keep score by the world's standards and lose sight of the inheritance that is ours. We look at the stuff. We look at the creation instead of the Creator. And we forget that we have a relationship with the one who created it all. Help us to know and to understand that that is our inheritance. And to hold fast to that cornerstone in the face of all that the world sends out. We can hold fast to that promise. And God's people said it.